Nope. Okay, there we go. Now we can hear it. There we go. Thank you. Hey, we're going to worship and pray in a minute. But before we do, we'd like to ask you to all to stand and come down to the altar area, please. And we're going to pray tonight, hopefully in one accord. And if we can, that might just help us. Okay? While you're doing that, on behalf of Pastor Jerry Simmons and Pastor Peter Sandin, I want to thank you for venturing out tonight. Welcome to Men's Vision Service. This is, I'm excited about what's going to go on tonight. Hope you are. Okay? Sorry. Okay, we're going to pray. If you guys would join me. Heavenly Father, we love you, Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for being our God, for calling us out of this world into your marvelous light, Lord. We invite your presence this evening. We ask you to have your way here. May everything we do be pleasing to you, Lord. We ask that you bless these men, Lord. May they be the strong men that you want them to be, the men of valor. I ask that you anoint the music team and the pastors, the speakers this evening, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You guys ready for a little something different tonight? All right.
Your praise, Lord.
than just a prayer, pray more than just a way to heaven. What does it mean to be His, to be formed in His likeness? Know that we have a purpose. So here's our purpose: to be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Yes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Oh, that the church would arise, that we would see with Jesus' eyes, we could show the world heaven. Yeah. Show what it means to be His, to be formed in His likeness. Show them they have a purpose. Here's our purpose: to be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world, more than salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Say I'm redeemed. I am 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 redeemed. Oh, oh. Say I am redeemed. 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 Come on, sing one more time. Say let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so, say so.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for redeeming us, God. Hallelujah. We lift up our voices to you this night as one body of men. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Call the trumpet and shout, praise Him for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Praise Him for the victory. Yes, lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. Come on, praise Him for the victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Praise Him for the victory. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Oh yes. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Come on, say every knee again. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Ever and ever say, every knee shall bow, every
tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Yeah, can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Can't stop, I can't stop, can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Oh yeah, can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. I gotta praise, and I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta let it out. I gotta praise, yeah. I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta let it out. I gotta praise. I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta let it out. I gotta praise. Yeah. I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta let it out. I gotta praise. Oh, the mountain's high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak, and I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Oh, the road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy's near, but he's not too strong, and I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Oh, the mountain's high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak, and I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy's near, but it's not too strong. And I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Say, I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back now. You think we've come too far to turn back? I won't turn back, no, I won't turn back, I won't turn back now. I'm not gonna throw everything away that God's given me. Say, I won't turn back, I won't turn back, I won't turn back now. Yeah, yeah, I won't turn back, no, I won't. All that you've given us, we're not going to turn back. We're going to keep going down the path you set us on, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, God, for making us the men you want us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to worship you. Thank you. Men of God, we need to reach deeper, further than we have before. We need to do it. We need to do it.
Jesus. God, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of your presence. We're not worthy of your grace. We're not worthy of your mercies, God. We're not worthy of this salvation. God, you are so good. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being in our lives, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
There's something different when you can feel the presence of God. You don't feel the spirituality of a church service. You feel the presence of God because you are genuinely and diligently coming to God with a pure heart. God, I want to be closer to you. I want to get into your holy of holies. Take me past all the distractions. It feels good. It feels amazing. It feels like I don't want to think about the distractions. I don't want to think about my job or the day or issues with family or issues with neighbors. I don't. This is what God's calling us to, men. This isn't this one thing that happens every month or every so often where we find the presence of God on accident. God's calling us to this daily, daily. Praise God. Let's just give him one more, just praise him one more time before we sit down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. We love you, God. We need you, God. There's nobody like you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. A lot of you are already up close to the front, so you can save yourself some time if you just stay up here and sit. God is good. God is good. Before I start with my little sneak a preach here, I want to just give an announcement. For those of you that know me and don't know me, most of you do. Calvary Gospel Church has a unique set of groups that meets. It's for sexual addicts, people that have struggled with pornography, masturbation. Yeah, I said it with a mic. And I say it's unique because not a lot of churches have this. It's becoming more popular, but by popular, it's still a minority. But it's because churches are finally seeing the need to bring sin into the light so God can do something about it. Because alone, we can do nothing. Nothing. God designed everything in this walk with him as a community. Even he grabbed 12 men. If it was just one, he would have just grabbed one. Right? It's a community of people. And I believe as men, it's a community of men that come together and we help each other. And so, I'm making an announcement to say that there's going to be another group starting up. I don't know if people are online or you're here, but there's going to be another recovery group starting up in the next, once we get to probably the next month or two. If you're interested in learning more, if you're interested in being a part, let me know. You can reach out to me on the side. You can, you know, call the office and ask for my cell phone number or Google me or whatever. I'm sure you'll find something. You know, find me afterwards and shake my hand. Not everybody that shakes my hand afterwards looks at porn, just so everybody knows, okay? Okay? But this is what I would caution you against as you sit there and you think about this. If you looked at porn today, you should probably come find me, okay? Just saying. If you looked at porn a week ago, but you're good now, you should probably come find me. It's been my experience over the last 5 to 6 weeks that if you've looked at porn in the last 3 to 6 months, you're not good. You should probably come find me. It's called a binge purge cycle. You plan it all up. You get it all ready. You look at all your porn. You do all your masturbating. And you're like, okay, I'm good for a while. I can deal with the stresses of life. So that's why I say, I know I went a number of times where I'm like, oh, it's only every 6 months, you know. I accidentally say mean things more than that, so I'm good. It's limiting you, men. It's limiting what God wants you to be and how you can impact the world around you. And so with that, I say there's a group available. There's not a lot of churches that do this. We are blessed beyond compare to have a pastor who not only supports this, but says, Peter, go do it. There's churches that won't do that. Don't waste it. Don't waste an opportunity. There's so many men I talk to that are like, what do I do if my pastor doesn't support it? I'm like, you submit to your pastor. We don't have that here. Don't waste it. If you're online, don't waste it. So before I start with my little message here, I just want to say sorry in advance. I usually don't say that. I want to thank all the men in my life, both spiritually that have been in this church or spiritually not in this church. I want to thank the men that secular, both in my jobs, all my jobs I've had, even some ones a long time ago that said some things. Even the men that I met in the military. And I'm sure there's some women along the way too, but this is a men's service, so I'm going to speak about that. What I appreciate about them is their willingness to speak truth into my life and them not accepting me to run away from it. We need more of that as men. And so tonight, God's told me to speak some truth into your life. And I'm going to tell you what they told me in the Army. This is just tough love. Suck it up, buttercup. Right, Pastor Roy? Suck it up, buttercup. You could do something with it, or you can go home and keep being a whiner. I don't know. But this is your options. So for most of you know me, I grew up in the church. I grew up right here, right? Went to this building most of my life. And the other side too. And I, you know, when I was younger, I was always waiting for something. You know, we went to the Christian school, so I'd go to the conferences and we'd go to the camps, the youth camps. And I always thought, and I always think about this, maybe I'm just the only weirdo, but the young guys always come up here and pray, right? I always used to go up and pray and I always be like, I hope somebody super spiritual comes up and walks into my ear, talks into my ear and says that deep word of wisdom to tell me what to do with my life. Alas, it never happened. Just so you know. I used to hope that, you know, Brother Bustard would come and he'd be like, you loser that didn't shave in the back row. Yeah, the one looking at porn all the time. Yeah, you. Here's God's word for you. Alas, thank God he did not do that. That would have been a bad out, right? I used to hope somebody would pray for me and speak some fancy words or some prophecy. I hear people talking about the Bible, and we read stories of Moses and Abraham and Paul in the New Testament. And we see how God, and he meets them in these awesome situations. He meets them on the mountain. He meets them with a burning bush. He meets them with a blinding light on the road to Damascus. God, I want my blinding light. I need my mountain. I need my bush. Speak to me through this great and awestruck, wonderful moment. And so that's what I was looking for. I want that fire that Elijah experienced, where I could just be like, bring the fire, and God just, that's what I want. God, give me this direction. Well, man, I have a simple message for you tonight, a very simple message. When you're done, if you only need to remember two words from me, two words, and those words are stop waiting. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for the mountain, the bush, or the light on the road to Damascus. Stop waiting for some obvious physical and demonstrative sign, because God's word is here right now and is telling you what to do. And it's a lot easier than you think. Jerry's going to talk about vision. Hopefully he's talking about some big, big, awesome vision. I'm just going to share with you a tiny little vision, just a little vision tonight. Maybe the vision for the next step, maybe the vision for tonight, maybe for tomorrow morning. Let's just start there. Today I'm talking little visions. When we grow in God as men, we naturally have to put things away. Pastor Roy and I talked about this. We need to give them up. It's called responsibility. In the Bible, I think it's Psalms or Proverbs, it says, when I was a child, or it's Corinthians actually, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I did what? I put away childish things. Some of them. Or maybe God's saying, as we are constantly becoming more like him, we're constantly having to put more things away. And so here's the message. If I'm telling you to stop waiting, you're probably going to walk away like my wife in most sermons and be like, well, then what am I supposed to do? Right? It's great that you told me not to do something. Now what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm here to say that relationship with God happens one step at a time. Change, healing, renewing of the mind happens one step at a time. Abraham walked with God daily. The mountain happened later. Enoch walked with God. Doesn't really say anything else than that. In fact, God said, I don't need a mountain for you. I'm just going to take you right now. Disciples walked in person with the God of the universe and pretty much failed daily. Up until right when he died, Peter's denying him, right? They're utter failures, but guess what? Their miracles came later. Stephen dying, seeing the right God at the right hand, right? Later. Peter speaking at the day of Pentecost, later. John writing everything he wrote, later. David was an unwanted shepherd boy in the field by himself with sheep. Imagine all the jokes about that. But he was a man after God's own heart. We like to talk about the giant, but we forget about the sheep. We forget about the minuscule task that nobody else wanted to do. The daily going out there by himself, singing to sheep. We forget about the daily. I know we want to see great things, man. And we want to hear, men, we want to hear this awesome word of God that says, James Novak, you will be a missionary to Tanzania. That's what we want. That's not of God. I'm just saying it. Maybe it was. That's up for you to decide. I know we want to see these, and we want to see wonders and works and awesomeness and all these things in our lives, but a wise man once told me, honor comes after humility. The fire falls after prayer. Revival comes after prayer. Revival in my heart, my mind, and my habits. Revival in my family comes after prayer, because if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn, put away the things of the childish from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heavens and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. But instead, we listen to the loud voices and circumstances of the world. Oh, but Peter, now I have a job. I have to support my family. That's important. I need money. I got to support the church. God doesn't need your money. The tithes, I'm not saying anything, but you know what I'm saying? Oh, but I got to spend time, doing this so I can whatever for my family. I need some me time. Those things don't bring me a relationship with God. And so tonight I'm telling you, stop waiting to be told by a powerful man of God what to do and start praying. Stop waiting for something fancy and start reading God's word. Stop waiting for awesome feelings. This tingling you're going to get, it's not there. Just start drawing closer to God at all costs. In the morning, at night, in your truck. When life just pure sucks, go to God. Say, God, I don't know what to do. And be honest with him. Stop waiting. Stop waiting and do the work every single day. This is your little vision. Stop waiting and pray and read God's word every day. If you've been a part of anything I've taught or been a part of small groups, I'm not here to make you read the bread program. It's a good program. I'm not here to say you should read 20 chapters a day there, Brother Ward. I'm here to say read something and find from God what's in there for your life that day. Find what's in there. That's why Pastor Roy, that's why my daughter has to journal. I don't care how long she reads, but she has to internalize it. What is God speaking to me? So go ahead and read your bread program. Read your Bible 10 times through over the next 10 years and not be any closer to God because you weren't reflecting on it. It's not that difficult. It literally is as simple as love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Another, maybe he wasn't so wise, man. Johnny Cash sings about this. He talks about that awesome, unique car he built. He did it one piece at a time. And it didn't cost him a dime, right? I don't remember the rest of the words, but see, he's got it right there, yes. So men, stop waiting. Take every single day and pray. Every single day and read God's word. If you do those things, the fire will come. If you do those things, revival will come. If you do those things, renewal of your mind will come. If you do those things, you'll see a change in who you are. I love what you said this morning, Pastor Roy. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to wake up and pray, Jesus, I love you. Teach me to pray. Psalms 23:1. Okay, great. Bam. International evangelist Peter Sandin. Doesn't work that way. But guess what? As I focus on my journey, not on the result, not on the destination is heaven and being for God, but as I focus on my one step, my little vision every day, as I focus on that, I'm going to look back and be like, wow, look where God has brought me. Just like you said in your journals, you look back and see where God has brought you. So stop waiting, men. And for those of you who are married, I've got a whole different stop waiting for you. We read in Ephesians 5:22 that wives are to submit to your husbands. We all love that verse, right? Until the very next verse when he says, two verses later, he says, husbands is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy. And at the very end, he says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. To make it simple, each of you is to love his wife as himself and the wife to respect her husband. So men, here's the challenge that you're not going to like to hear. If we represent Christ, then we start. Christ did not say, I'm going to go to the cross and die for you once you repent, Pastor Roy. Once you repent, Ricky, then I'll come to the cross and die for you. Once you turn your life around, he said, I'm going to die on the cross for Josh Manis, regardless of if he ever stops or does or good or bad things. I'm dying either way. And so how does that apply to us? Well, that is the literal definition of unconditional love. He gives it without any condition. But men, we do not know how to do that. I've always said, this is my definition, love is a willful decision without regret or any expectation of something coming back. I don't do it, or I shouldn't do it, because I'm not perfect, because I want something back. As men, we like to say,
We like to talk about our wives. Oh, she just wants to talk all the time. She wants to share feelings. She wants to do this.
Seems like you got your own cross to die on. And I don't mean that negatively. I mean women need that.
As men, we like to say, I'll listen to you and share my emotions if I get something, whatever that something is for you, but I can take a couple good guesses at it, out of it. Men, that's not love. That's not of God. It's selfish and it's childish. That's what it is. And so what do we need to do for Christ? We need to die to the thing in our lives, whatever it is for our spouses and families. I got to die to my desires. Oh, but the Bible says this. Forget what the Bible says. The Bible was written for Pastor Jerry, for Pastor Jerry. It was written for me. It wasn't written for my wife. It wasn't written for Glenn Rossing. The Bible was written for me. When you can get that through your head, it's going to be a lot easier walking through life. Because as long as I keep pointing out verses for my wife, I'm never going to hear it for me. So that means I got to die to my desires, my wants, my opinions, I'm right. Sure, you're right. Whatever. Give it up. Oh, but you know what? She did the wrong, so she better apologize first. Well, God didn't apologize first. So men, hopefully the wives aren't listening here, but it's biblical. Apologize first. That's what Jesus did. You can show the perfect love of God to your family. You cannot show the perfect love of God to your family if you're not receiving it from God. You can't. You can't. And so you have to pray. But what about my wife? Don't worry about your wife. Whether she ever responds the way I want or feel I deserve is irrelevant in God's eyes. Everything in his word literally says, and this is a whole message for another day, so hopefully I don't cheat myself. But he talks about what to do with your enemies, go with them the extra mile, turn your cheek. What to do with your brother, right? It tells him to do all these good things for your brother, 70 times 70. Right? What to do with your neighbor? If you have to do that with your enemy, brother, neighbor, imagine what he expects from you to your wife. There's no excuses, men. There's no excuses. And so as I get ready to close, and you guys are going to do a little music transition here, but as I get ready to close, I just want to say stop waiting. Stop waiting for something spiritual and special and awe-inspiring, and just start walking with God daily. Really simply, daily. Stop waiting for your wife and kids to treat you the way you think you deserve or the Bible tells you they should, and love them unconditionally. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. It's really easy. I go through group after group after group, and the groups take about a year, and at the end of the year, a lot of times a light bulb goes on. Oh, I have to pray and read my Bible. Yeah! I could have told you that at the beginning. Bishop's been saying it for how many years, Brother Glenn? Forever. Stop waiting for something fancy. Stop waiting for your wife to do enough whatever for you. Love her anyway, because that's what God's called you to do. Stop waiting. Pray every day. Read God's word every day. Repent every single day. You want to get in the holy and holies? It starts with repentance. And guess what? You're going to wake up the next day, and you're going to do it again. When you don't feel good, do it again. When you sinned 5 minutes before, do it again. If you don't deserve it, do it again. It doesn't matter. Stop waiting and just do it. That's all I got, men. Stop waiting.
Oh, 주님.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I feel like Peter gave me a suggestion. I should be on the floor level before the service. I didn't do it. Now I really feel like I'm behind a battleship up here. But we're going to make it work, if that's okay. Or I can pull an audible and have someone go back into that back room and grab the podium that's up against the wall. I just feel like I need to be a little closer to you guys tonight. Is that all right? While they're doing that, I'd like to make a couple of announcements. Sam, do you got my back there, buddy? I'm going to go through these pretty quick. We started the service a little late, tried to let people get here. I'm glad as many of you guys have gotten here. The snow was pretty rough. It got rough pretty quick. But Brother Sam, you guys can be seated. Will you give me that first slide I gave you on the announcements? Not that one. I can move down here. So coming up in March, we have this thing called Barbecue Bible Study. Doesn't that sound cool? So we're going to be launching that. We'll be giving some more information out about that pretty soon, but it's going to be open to guys and gals. I was going to originally make it only guys, but my wife gave me a really, really hard time about that. So I had to make it for women too, because women like barbecue as well, right? Sam, can you give me that next slide? I'm going to go through these quickly just to give you a heads up. So coming up this March 18th through the 21st, we have a Man Up Adventure that's scheduled for just CGC. And so if it's only for our church. And so it's still got quite a few open spots. And it is a little expensive. If you haven't ever been on a Man Up Adventure, you know, if you've ever been, you know that it's absolutely worth the cost. If you've ever been on one, raise your hands. Would you do it again? Amen. I would do it again. I'm going on this one again. And so I'm a believer in Man Up Adventure. I'm a believer in this. And so we've set this up where you can go to that bit.ly link. And if you can't afford the full price, you can pay some payments on it. So if that seems like a high price for 4 days out, food and lodging, it's not that high. But if you can't afford it, you can pay like $160 down and make payments for a few months. And anyone pretty much that has a job should be able to afford that, unless your finances are real tight. And if they are, come talk to me. I might be able to figure something out for you. All right. Next slide, Sam. So coming up, a lot of our guys from CGC always go to camp, and if you've ever been to camp during the renovation week coming up May 24th to 31st, you know we always have a really great time sitting around the campfire doing nothing, just eating steaks and all that. Well, it's not really true. We kind of work like dogs all day long, but the Brother Roy is a slave driver, man, I tell you. But the honest truth of the matter is this. When you work with someone, apostolic men, as opposed to working with people in the world, you fellowship while you work. It's a different thing. It's so different. I never understood it, but when I experienced it, when you work with apostolics, it's not work. You're brothers. You're together. It's fellowship. And so I just want to let everyone know that if they'd like to go up for, you don't have to go the whole time, you can go up for a day even and just hang out. We're going to be renovating some rooms and some other things at the campground. Next slide for me, Sam. Sam's got my back today. We're going to be doing something different this year. I know not everyone will be able to participate, but maybe you should know about it. Up in Stevens Point, there's a small church that's been struggling for probably 15 years to get a sanctuary remodeled. They meet in a very small room. They've outgrown it. They're having revival. They don't have a baptistry. They don't have anything. So I'm going to make this statewide, but if you would like to participate maybe 1 day or 2 days or whatever and go up, we're just going to be sheetrocking inside of a shell of a steel building and turning it into a pretty cool church. It's 32 by 60. So a little bit of work involved. I have it kind of split up over 10 days. So if you guys could even come in for, it's not about an hour and a half from here, so you can go in for a day or whatever and just hang out with us and
and do some sheetrocking or some electrical framing, whatever. So just let you know about that. Sam, I got a lot of announcements. I'm going to try to hurry. So coming up in April, we have a fellowship hall renovation project. This was scheduled back before the snow, and then it caught up on us. The reason why we had to push it off until springtime is because we're going to be driving a UTV through the foyer with gravel and stuff on it. It's just not cool to do that with the snow. And so we're going to be busting up a bunch of concrete back there and putting in a brand new bathroom for the toddlers and renovating all new carpet. It's going to be a really cool situation. We're going to put in some new sound equipment, and there's a lot of things going on. And so during that time, we're going to be coming in. This will be like an all-nighter deal where we come in on a Friday night. We work real late, have a lot of good food. We work all the Saturday after church on Sunday, even if we have to, and turning that into a really nice thing. We're looking forward, hopefully right after Easter, we get to use some more of that side of the building due to COVID. We've had a lot of restrictions because we have a daycare. And the daycares, we've tried to keep those folks employed, so we've taken a hit by it. But hopefully over after Easter, we'll be able to use it all. So next slide for me, bro. Just real quick, there's coming up as a concealed carry course on the 26th. So if you're interested, see Kirby Waters. One more slide here for me. So coming up next weekend, Kirby's trying to get the word out, but he's starting a new ministry called Take Aim. It's for anyone who loves firearms or any of that kind of thing. It's kind of a connection group, so if you want to be a part of that, you can get with Kirby. But one of his first events is going to be paintball next weekend at Apocalypse Paintball up in Poinette. It's going to be at 10:30 a.m., so just see Kirby if you'd like to be a part of that. So I'm trying to help him out, get the word out. So that being said, I think that's my last one, isn't it? Yeah. It is a tier one, and it is 2 hours north of here, and it's going to be in a lodge with beds. So it's made for, if you are someone who doesn't think you can go on a long hike, you could probably do this with a wheelchair, man. I mean, this is going to be super simple. Nate created this event for folks who wanted to be able to participate but didn't feel like they could make it up and down the mountain. So it's not to say it's not going to be great, because they are great still, and there will be some hiking available, but it's not super intense. So if you feel like that's not, you're not prepared for a big hike, this is still going to be really cool. It just costs a little bit more money for us to rent the big cabin and stuff, so the prices reflect. It's not, you're not staying in a tent, but you'll be staying in a lodge. So good question, no. All right, guys, is it all right if I bring the word of the Lord to you this afternoon, tonight here? I appreciate you guys making a trip. I know typically we've conditioned ourselves to have a one-hour service, and it's already 8 o'clock. So Peter did not take too long. I think Peter did the will of the Lord tonight. There's going to be some men who need to reach out to Peter. Hopefully, if you're one of those guys that need to get some help or just whatever, don't feel ashamed, okay? Let's just get past that and let's get some help and get better, all right? Amen. I'd like to have you all stand. I'm going to read from the book of Acts. Tonight I'm just going to be simply talking about one word, vision. And I'm going to have Brother Sam just now running the projector for the first time tonight, just learning the ropes, so it might be a little clunky for a minute, but we'll get there. Acts 2, verse 2 through 7, 17 through 18 says, "And it shall be in the last days, say God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And in those days I will pour out my spirit upon my servants, and they shall prophesy." Amen. I had a wrong translation. I know you should put King James. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to switch it up on you. So one more scripture, Romans 8:6. Says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Amen. You may be seated. I'm just talking to you a little bit tonight about vision. 2020, in reflection, was supposed to be the year of perfect vision, 2020 vision. I don't know how many times I heard it, but really it turned out to be a year of civil unrest and race wars, political chaos, COVID-19, and a full spectrum of false information, redactions, corrections, corruption at the expense of hundreds of thousands of American lives who actually did succumb to a worldwide pandemic. 2020 became the year of cancel culture and false accusations and all types of insanity and fast-tracked vaccinations. Never thought I'd ever heard of that one, where we come up with a worldwide vaccine in a matter of months. Economic upheaval, uncertainty, and for the church, as we know it, it was completely turned upside down. And we're still dealing with the aftermath of that. It's been a crazy year. Can anyone say amen? Amen. But we are, believe it or not, 2 months now into 2021. I don't know if you realize it, but we have turned the corner and things are changing. Amen. Tonight's service is all about vision, but with all the chaos and confusion of 2020, who has not been affected by their carnal vision of what they've seen? I'm wondering, is there anyone here that can say that they truly haven't been affected by what has happened in 2020? Every one of us have taken some hit in some way, shape, form, or fashion. No matter what spectrum of belief systems you have, everyone has dealt with the fallout. Tonight's service, though, is about vision. So let me get one thing straight right now. It is God's desire, and it's even been prophesied, and I read that prophecy, that you shall have a spiritual vision, a system of spiritual visions. I wonder if anyone in this service tonight has experienced a moment with God where you knew, maybe you can even relate it to the time when you first got the Holy Ghost, where all of a sudden the way that you saw the world changed dramatically in a moment. And through the spiritual connection with God, suddenly every person that you looked at looked different. Every situation that you had to deal with was now different. Do you remember that moment? Now, not everyone maybe has experienced that moment, but with the Spirit, suddenly everything that you perceived was suddenly different. And maybe you realized that there was a certain point in time after that that something occurred to you, and maybe you fell back into the old thinking. Could have been directly after that church service where someone made you mad, or all of a sudden your mind just closed down, and the way that you perceived the world went back to the old way, the carnal way. I read the scripture, Romans 8 and 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and death." And we've all heard people say that you can be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's not really a scripture. Actually, the scripture is this: to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, that other thing sounds really practical, but I'm not talking about practical. I'm talking about faith in the Bible. Amen. I could even change the word to be carnally minded, or to have a carnal vision is death. To look at the world through carnal eyes will lead you to death. But to look at the world through spiritual eyes will lead you to life, and it will lead you to peace. The same life and peace that I just talked to you about. That life and peace that you experienced when you fully surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ in worship, when he filled you with the Holy Spirit, or he brought you to another place at another time in worship or prayer or Bible study or just hanging out with your friends. You knew God was speaking. You ever had that time and all of a sudden it's like, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way that God created us to be. But the way that we walk in our normal daily lives is the cursed way. The way that of cursed flesh. The way of cursed eyes. The way of carnal thinking and carnal vision. Eyes left looking upon the carnal will always gravitate toward death, but carnal eyes, they're just tied to death. What do you think, you know, whenever you looked into the first parts of the scripture, whenever Satan was dealing with Eve, he said, you know, look at this fruit. And she had to perceive it as the way that he basically was presenting it. But the way that that fruit was, it was supposed to be hands off. Do not touch. Don't come near. Because it had problems. But those problems were not what the devil was highlighting. He was highlighting the benefits of the fruit, right? And then she walked away thinking, oh, this is good for me. This is going to be the right path for me. I need to take this fruit. That was carnal thinking, and it led to death. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Very simple scripture, but how real is it that how many times have you gotten in trouble with how you perceived with your own eyes what you thought was happening in a certain situation, but only to realize later that what you thought you saw was not really what was happening? Anybody ever lost like $20 and you thought, certainly it was this scummy dude that was sitting by me at the day that day. He probably stole my $20. Only to find out it was your scummy self that put it in the wrong place. And you just misplaced it. Amen. Anybody ever done that? I've done that so many times. Like I lose something and I think that someone stole it. I just immediately carnal thinking. I believe the worst in somebody. I immediately think they're my enemy. I immediately think that it's got to be something else, something besides maybe myself. So I'm not saying that we don't have spiritual perception, but I mean that carnal perception can mislead us. There's a better way of saying that. What I'm saying is you can be spiritually seeing things in your life, but your carnal vision will try to come up and compete with it. Anybody ever had this, like, how am I going to get from here to there? And your carnal vision is like, no, you can't do this because practical this and practical that and practical this. And your carnal vision is trying to get you to, is trying to persuade you in carnal ways. But your spiritual vision is like, God said, if you'll pay your tithes, he'll take care of you. Wow, that doesn't make sense on anyone's calculator. But if you ever live through that, the calculator really is irrelevant because God will figure out a way. Amen. Now let me get a show of hands of who's seen that happen in their life. So we know by looking at all of these witnesses that the things we're talking about are true. There is a way of perceiving life a different way, the right way, the correct way. But there's also a way of perceiving life that the world would say is wise, right? Practical wisdom. Why would you give 10% of your income away to some place that just gets up and yells at you through a microphone? Why would you do that? Well, there's more to it, amen? So let me talk to you about some of the aspects of vision for just a few moments. I'm going to try to hurry up as much as I can. The number one aspect of vision is God's part. It's called light. Amen. God's part is how we perceive everything around us in our natural way of perceiving. If without light, our eyes just don't work. Anybody ever been in a situation where you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? Have you ever been in a position where you're like, I need to see, I need to know where I am. I need to know who's with me because I don't know if I'm by myself or there's someone else with me. Everyone ever had that position? Like whenever I was really young, that was really more important. But now I feel like I'm a little tougher and I'm not as afraid of the dark as I used to be. But if you ever been in a situation where you can't see anything, one time whenever I was in college, I had a brand new roommate. He was a crazy redneck from Arkansas, and I was a crazy redneck from Arkansas, so I thought we would be compatible. We were not compatible. He was more crazier from a different place of Arkansas than where I was from, and he could not sleep in the room without every single ounce of light to be completely blocked out of that room. So he went and bought big, huge, thick blankets, and he stapled them over the windows of our room. Which is fine, because when I'm sleeping, my eyes are closed. That doesn't matter to me. But when he wakes up in the middle of the night screaming bloody murder in his nightmarish weird stuff, saying that he has phantom pains because someone cut his legs off, and I wake up and I bump my head on the bunk above me, freaking out, but I open my eyes and they don't work because I can't see anything. It's pitch black. I forget who I am. Have you ever had that where you wake up and you don't know who you are for a moment? That's not fun. It's easier to know who you are when you can see. Let me tell you, when I opened my eyes, they didn't work, and my brain didn't work for a moment. I didn't know where I was or who I was because I was in a brand new dormitory in Minnesota. I didn't know who was screaming. All I know is I was scared, really, really scared. But for a second, I realized where I was because I looked across the room and there was a digital alarm clock with one little red LED light on the top of it. And I seen that really small glowing LED light. And all of a sudden, it all came to me where I was. And I screamed at Jeremy, and I like to kill him in the middle of the night, threatened to kill him. Genesis 1, verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Genesis 1, 3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." There was a spiritual manifestation of God's presence before there was actually a carnal way of perceiving he was there. The Spirit moved, and then he spoke. I'll tell you, in life that happens quite a bit. Well, God is moving in ways that we cannot see, and then he manifests himself in ways that we can. Our carnal eyes are always one step at least behind our spiritual eyes. God wants to show us things, but sometimes we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? It was said, it has been said that there are the four Gospels were given from four different perspectives, four vantage points, for levels of perception. I don't know if you've heard this before. I had teachers teach this to me in college, so humor me for a moment. But they say Matthew was to the Jews and presented the Gospel from a lion's perspective. And Mark was to the Romans and presented the Gospel from an ox's perspective. And Luke was to the Greeks and presented the Gospels from a man's perspective, but John was different. His perspective was much higher. And he presented the Gospel from the church's perspective as a soaring eagle far above the ground. And if you read through the Gospels, you'll notice that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can tell they all have their feet on the ground. When you read through John, you're like, whoa, bro, that's weird. What are you talking about? You got to read John twice, three times, four times, five times. You got to read John your whole life because you'll still keep realizing that John was talking about something else, something else. He's seeing things that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not explain. You could start right away. And just to explain those scriptures real fast, as people take this out of Ezekiel 1:10 and Revelation 4:7, I'll just read Revelation 4:7. I'll skip Ezekiel, but it says, and the first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature was like a calf, and the third was like the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And they take it this to say that these, at certain points in time, that God used the Gospels in the same way, as that one of them was different, and it was way different. And we could start reading very quickly in John and realize that he saw the world differently. From God's perspective, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the world, a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not even one thing came into being that has come into being, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it." So, this is John's version of Genesis 1. He sees it much differently than the carnal eyes even could have perceived such a crazy event as creation. But he saw it from God's perspective, that God was doing this, and God was wanting to put light into the world so that men could comprehend what they were seeing. But not only in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. God is that light, the light of men, the light that's inside of us. Whenever that light shines on us, when it's shown on us from the very first time, that light illuminated a new part of our being. Did anybody experience the same thing? I hope I'm talking to the right group, because when that happened to me, everything changed. The things I thought were important before, all of a sudden, were not important. There was new things that I needed to know. I needed to find out now. I needed to know what happened to me. What was that I felt? What was that I was perceiving with something besides my normal way of perceiving things? My eyes work really great. But at that moment in time, they were useless to me. But the perception that I was receiving from the Spirit was what I needed. That's what I needed to know. And so the writer of Hebrews elaborates further. I'm just teaching tonight, if that's okay. The writer of Hebrews 11 further elaborates on this. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That makes no sense. You can read it all day. It will never make sense. Things that are made were made by things that you cannot see. He spoke them into existence. The word, the spoken word, created things into existence. I'm not trying to get all weird with you, but I'm saying that there is another realm that we live in that is perceivable with things that God has given us that don't require our eyes, our ears, our nose. There's something else out there, and it's speaking to us, each one of us. Now, if I had you all to close your eyes, and maybe here in a little bit we will, you guys could all close your eyes and close your ears, and it could be dead silence, and you could go back and you would remember the moments when God was speaking to you in ways. And they may have been very simple ways, like Peter was saying, you need to change. You need to start. You need to quit doing these things. The Spirit of God was prompting you, pricking you, trying to get you to change. And I love what Peter was saying. You know, there's something about motivation. Like, we are really, like, Pentecostals are crazy. We got to be constantly motivated. Motivate me. Come on, man, get up there and worship, Brown. You better really do it, or we're just going to sit on you. Motivate me. Preacher, preach. Get me up on my feet. Preach, motivate me. But there's a difference between being motivated and being driven. When you're driven to do something, there's not anything that can stop you. You don't need to be preached up to onto your feet. But when you know that there's a drive inside of you, it doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. And the Holy Ghost will drive you. You will be a driven individual if you will let God speak to you and you accept what he is talking to you about. Motivation no longer matters. You will do the things that you have to do the things that you know that God's wanting you to do. You'll just make it happen, won't you? Won't you, brother? You were here all day long, weren't you? Yeah, you were. You were worship leading in how many services today? At least two. Two different pastors. I could tell when I talked to him, he's like, I will try to be at the men's service if I feel, I think I'll feel okay. I think I will. He's here. I know, because that man is driven. He's driven. He doesn't need motivation to show up whenever he's going to be the worship leader of a service that might only have four or five people. He'll be there because the drive is there. Because he knows that inside of him, he could not live with himself knowing that no one was going to show up to help lead worship in the AIM service today. But for some of us, we have to be constantly go on the motivation merry-go-round. We got to be kicked every time we come around. Kick me around. Keep me going. At the end of the day, aren't you tired of needing someone else outside to help kick you around the merry-go-round? But don't you think that the things that God has said are good enough in those moments when you perceived life the way it should be? Man, I love worship, and I'm so thankful for worship. I love worship bands that come together and practice. But Derek, I don't need you to worship God. I know God for myself. I know him. I can't perceive my life without worshiping God. Derek, I appreciate you bringing us into the presence of the Lord with song. But if there was never another song, I would not need to see Derek on the stage with my carnal eyes and hear him with my carnal ears to want to worship God. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ to us, is that he is with us. And He called 12 men, but now he's called the entire world unto himself. And here we are looking, and we get mixed up so much. I need to hurry. I don't want to take too long, guys. I'm sorry. I got off track there. One of the other aspects of vision is clarity. Our environment can impact our vision. Anybody ever driven home on a super, super, super foggy night when you couldn't see? Now, this is different than the light when you can't see in the darkness, because your headlights are on. High beams are on. You got the light bar on. You got everything on. And nothing is visible because you can't see through the environment that you're a part of. Sometimes it could be snow. Sometimes it could be fog. Have you ever been in a torrential rain? Whenever the rain is just pouring down so hard and you're going down the highway and you're like, I have to stop. Because if I don't stop, I can't see anything. I got a $50,000 truck. It's got the best windshield wipers that I can buy. I have the best headlights that I can buy. I have everything I can buy, but I still can't see through the environment that I'm a part of right now. Everyone has been through those situations in the physical, but what about the spiritual? I think COVID-19 and all this garbage from 2020 was clarity. I mean, come on. Every day you're like, I can't tell what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't make a plan. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't see my hand in front of my face. And I'm praying everything is right about my spiritual life, but the environment that I'm a part of right now is unclear. It's like fog. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part," like I can see a little bit, "but then shall I know even as also I am known." This is vision. This is reality in the spirit world. We can talk about all these concepts, but at the end of the day, Monday comes by, and we have to go back, and we're eating Cheerios out of a bowl, and we have no milk. And we ask our wife, "Why is there no milk?" Well, eat a Pop-Tart. You open up the box, and there's no Pop-Tarts. The box is in the cabinet. Who left the box in the cabinet? I'll pick some up at Quick Trip. You show up to Quick Trip, and guess what they don't have? Your favorite sandwich. All right. McDonald's, the line's too long. You get to work, and you're like, dude, I'm hungry. My carnal life is calling out to me, and I forgot what happened Sunday night when God was telling me that there's some things he wants to do with your life. Monday's come. We see through a glass darkly. Sometimes the glass gets dark, dark, dark. Anybody ever have the glass so dark that you're like, oh, man. And every once in a while you get real close and you see through there and you're like, okay, I think God's saying, just take one more day, go and apologize to everybody, get a cup of coffee. Amen. So these are things that light and clarity. Let's talk about perspective for a moment. Our place in life can limit perspective and conceal our vision. This is why police use helicopters to chase the bank robbers. When you're on the ground, you can't tell what's coming. You can't see everything that's in play, and you can lose sight of what you're pursuing. Anyone ever been on a deer stand and you want to take the shot, but like there's this huge oak tree, and you see the tail, and you see the horns or the antlers, but you can't see the deer. Yeah, you know, it's like a little frustrating because you're like, and all of a sudden it's like, and it hops away because your perspective was blocked. You weren't in the right tree. You didn't have the perfect perspective to understand what was happening at that moment. You couldn't tell if he was going to go left or right. You just could hear him on the other side. Perspective is one of those things where if we don't have the right perspective, we can get impatient and make bad decisions. Anybody ever made a bad decision because you could not tell what was coming down the road? Your perspective. But the perspective of God is always from a higher plane. God's watching, and he says, you can watch with me, or ask me. I'll lead you in the right direction. The deer is on the other hill, over the other hill. You just need to get off the stand, walk across over here, and then there's the deer. That's what you're looking for. This is maybe too practical, but focus. Focus is another thing that can mess up our vision. Keeping the main things the main thing is what's most important. Amen? If you don't focus on what matters, your visibility, your vision will be in vain. You can have the best scope or whatever. You can have the best eyesight in the world. But if you're constantly focusing on the wrong things, for me, I have an hour drive home every day when I leave church or when I leave Madison. And that, if you do that a lot of times, like in the last 6 months, I put on 30,000 miles, okay? After a while, have you ever like been in the car and you're like, I was just driving for like 5-10 minutes. I don't remember any of that. And then you're like scared for a moment, like, what if something would have happened when I was totally not there? I was gone. I don't know where I was. But my focus, I don't know what was going on. So what good is vision and the ability to see if we don't pay attention to the things that are important? Amen? And speaking of attention, not paying attention also limits our vision. So I got this a little mixed up, but focus for me is always like that phone. I'm sitting here driving, and then someone texts me, and then the next thing I know, I like read the text, and here I am breaking the law. And my eyes looking down, I can see what I'm looking at pretty clearly, but the things I need to be looking at are about a quarter of a mile down the road where the, speaking of deer, are sitting on the side of the road waiting to murder my car. It's so important. And so attention and focus are huge. But here's the last one of these I'd like to talk to you about tonight, and that's instinct. Spiritual instinct versus carnal instincts. So what the flesh sees will never be what the Holy Ghost vision inside of you sees. And natural instincts and abilities of, say, like an eagle can see an ant crawling on the sidewalk from a 10-story building. And in the spirit, we might have those types of spiritual instincts. Some of us have really sharp spiritual instincts. Like we can see things coming a long ways away, spiritually speaking. But if we ignore our natural instincts, when God is sitting there prompting us, like, you know this is coming. You know you have to do this. Instinctually, you know. He's given you a spiritual insight that could be laser sharp, perfect, like crazy. Like some of us have better spiritual instincts than others in the prophetic, you know, and things like that. Maybe some of us don't get that. But at the end of the day, if we don't operate in the instincts, the natural instincts that God has given us, then what's good is the vision that he has blessed us with. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear hath heard. Okay, think about this. Carnally speaking, your eyes have not seen, and your ears have not heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For whom among men knows the things of man except the spirit of man within him? In other words, you can't understand anything without that spiritual aspect. So also, no one knows the things of God except the spiritual, the spirit of God. See, you have to hone in on these abilities that God has placed in our lives. That, and he gave it to you, and you knew right at the moment. It was it's a gift. Literally a gift. When it happens to you, you know that you have the gift. You know, you wake up one moment, you didn't have it. The next moment, you're like, wow, my eyes are open for the first time spiritually. Everything is different in this manner. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit from God, so that we might know the things that were freely given to us by God. These things also we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. These are the things that we're supposed to be operating in. When I originally started working on this service, God was speaking to me in images from my past. I don't have a lot of time today to finish this, but we're going to do our very best for just a few moments. I have a story. About 8 years ago, my brother-in-law, this is the scripture God was giving me, Proverbs 27:19 says, as in the water, face answers to face, but so the man of the heart of man to man. As in water, face answers to face. When you look at water, you see yourself. But when you look at another man, you kind of see yourself sometimes. Like when you look at water, you see yourself, you see the reflection. When you can look at a man, the heart, so the heart of man to man, like when you actually get close to another dude, you're like, dude, we're more alike than we're not. When you actually make friends with somebody, you know, like, and all of a sudden you start, have you ever been hung out with someone a lot and you start talking like they do? It's like the mannerisms and everything, you know. It's weird. But it's kind of like there's certain people you probably shouldn't hang out with now that you think about that because you don't want to act. Okay, just joking about that. So me and my two brother-in-laws, Tucker and Steve. Tucker is a good friend of mine, went to Bible school. When we would go up to Shano at the camp, we would go to the Wolf River up in the casino area by the Indian Reservation, Menominee. And we would search around on the river for a place to snorkel. And when we would snorkel, it was me and him, and we were pretty, like, he's about my size. We were pretty strong. You know, everything's cool. We could swim upstream. We grew up poor, so we always swam in rivers. And so we would snorkel a lot. And we did this repetitively. Like, we bought gear. We had all the cool stuff. You know, we would go snorkeling. And so of the course of this time, we got pretty relaxed in our snorkeling. And the Wolf River was pretty fast-paced river. I mean, there's white water rapids and I mean, it could be a rough river. Well, one day, my brother-in-law, Steve, my other brother-in-law, he decided he was going to ride along with us and go up to the Wolf River. Well, it's cool. So at this particular part of the Wolf River, I decided I was going to go up the waterfall up on the top, and I was going to snorkel up there where the pools of water were real shallow. I was just looking around for fish and just digging around, just playing around like you do. And Tucker and Steve, my brother-in-law's, they were a good distance down the waterfall, and there was this big, huge rock, and where the waterfall come crashing down, there was a big pool that waterfalls make whenever they come down into the river. They make this big indention into the bed of the floor of the river, and everything kind of flows out, and it was moving pretty good that day. And we were having fun. At first, we would get on the rock, and we'd just jump off into the river and let it float us down, and then we'd swim to the side and come back up. Well, I was up on the top, and Steve had not yet jumped in, and Tucker was out snorkeling, and Steve decided he was going to follow suit. What me and Tucker had already done 3 or 4 times, and Steve jumps into the river. Well, I had my head down and my snorkel out, and I can't hear because I'm looking down, and I'm digging around, and I look up from where I'm snorkeling every few minutes, and I look down, and I see Tucker and Steve swimming. I see them just swimming. I see their heads. They're just swimming down there at the bottom. So I go back down, and I'm snorkeling, digging through rocks, looking for crawdads under the rocks, and chasing minnows, just doing nothing. And I look up, and I'm looking for Tucker. I figured Tucker might come up by now, because that's kind of where we would hang out. And I'm looking, and I see Tucker and Steve's head. They're just swimming. I'm like, okay. And then I look, and I see a hand like this. I can't hear. I'm a good distance away. So I stop for a second, and I look. And I can't tell what's going on. But then I finally hear Tucker scream as loud as he can. Help. So there's something wrong. So I, like, just launched myself down this cliff of rocks and bumped and bruised and butter because I was getting a little worried because I could start seeing their heads going up and down now, like in and out of the water. So the water was calm, but their heads were going up and down. And I was confused. But when I got out to Tucker and Steve was drowning Tucker. Steve had a hold of Tucker. Now, Steve was a Division I college football athlete. He was a beast. He was solid steel. He could dunk. He was about this tall. He was an athlete. But Steve has got Tucker wrapped up. And Tucker's drowning. And Steve is drowning. And so I get to them, and I kick off my flippers. I had flippers on because I can't move around with these crazy flippers. Half of my gear came off coming down. And so I get to Steve and I get to Tucker, and they're struggling to stay above water. And I immediately try to peel Steve off of Tucker. And Steve is like, you got to understand who Steve is. Steve is like the perfect Christian. Steve is like, of character, like level of character, is like way, way up here. Like he's like the family dude. Like he's got everything. Like his finances are pin perfect. Like he never makes mistakes. He's like just a cool dude. Like I think pastors call him for advice. Like he's just like that guy. I'm not joking. I mean, he's really the dude. I'd say he's kind of an anomaly of human beings. But Tucker, Steve has got Tucker wrapped up, and he's taking him underwater. And so I peel Steve's hands off of Tucker as hard as I can. Just I'm peeling Steve off, and Tucker gets loose. And Tucker's drowning. And Tucker makes his way slowly to the bank, and I'm like yanking Steve up out of the water as best I can. And we can't touch. I don't know where the floor of the river is. And I'm pulling Steve up, and I'm pulling Steve up, and then finally I was like, Steve is fighting me, and he's wailing, and he's just freaking out. And I finally grab him by his head, and I scream in his face this close. I say, "Stop drowning us!" And he froze, which caused him to sink, but I pulled him back up, and he's just stopped drowning us. And at that moment, he let me help him, which was, I nearly died. I got underwater, and I kept bouncing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and just pushing toward the bank. Because in my mind, I was not motivated to help Steve. I was driven in that moment to help Steve. I wasn't going to go home without my brother-in-law. That was just a thought. That was the only thought in my mind, that I'm not going home without Steve. And in just the right moment, I got my foot on a rock, and I touched him with my tippy toe, and my nose came out, and I was able to hold Steve, and we stayed there for a good 20, 30 minutes without moving because we were so exhausted. We got Steve onto the bank, and we got in the car. Tucker and Steve threw up because they had ingested so much water. We went home. It was freak out mode. We never went back to that spot. But in my mind, it was weird because it wasn't a big deal to me. But I always saw Steve... face for years, that face he made of terror and shock and almost giving up. And just seeing his face was the strangest thing in my mind. It was hard. It's like, you ever have an image of something that's happened to you and it's forever burnt? Like it's never going to go away? That was that moment that I had with Steve. And it was weird because God... in some weird ways, he started showing me things about myself later on, that in a lot of things in life, I was a lot like Steve. Hard to say. But people would try to help me out. I went through times in my life that were such a struggle because I could not perceive what was happening to me. Clarity was gone. I was underwater. I could not see anything in front of me. Everything about what would normally help someone to understand what was happening to them was gone. And when folks would try to help me, I would hurt them. I would almost drown them sometimes. They would, "Whoa, man, dude, what's wrong with you?" And I had not realized all the things that had occurred to me. I went through some rough moments with some people. I went through some tough depression. A little transparency here. I didn't know how to deal with it. No one really knew what to do with me. And it took me a long time. And I realized that God was working the whole time, even sending people to help me like Steve, but in my struggle, in my personal fight, I kept just fighting and fighting and fighting. And people get close to me and I would end up almost drowning them just trying to help me. And I realized that a lot like Steve, myself was acting like Steve until suddenly one day I stopped and I gave up. I gave up trying to do it myself. And people came along and helped me a lot. And believe it or not, one of them is sitting right here, is Brother Kelvin. Before I ever came to Calvary Gospel, I went to help at the campgrounds because I wanted to help. I wanted to get away, but I was messed up. Like, a lot of people didn't know how bad it was. Kelvin picked up on it right away. Kelvin got my number somehow. I didn't even remember giving it to him. For literally a year and a half, would call me on a regular basis. At least the first 3-4 calls, he called me at spiritually perfect timing for my life because I was messed up. And I could not tell you who he was. I didn't even know the connection. Like, he was just random call, and I'm playing stupid on the phone. Like, I don't even know who's calling me. I didn't know him. He's just talking to me. Hey, buddy, how you doing, man? It's good to hear from you. And I'm like drowning, and he's yanking me up out of the water. And I'm like, it took me 4 calls to understand that his name was Kelvin. And I met him at camp. Oh, yeah, camp. Okay, yeah. And over the course of a year and a half, Kelvin had just reached out just a few times and helped me in ways that he never knew. He never knew. And so it is with us. We look at each other heart to heart, face to face. There's so many folks that are struggling right now. This is the whole sermon. If you're one of those, stop fighting us. Stop fighting us. We're just trying to help you. Stop fighting. We aren't trying to hurt you. And if you're one of those that are perceiving other folks, don't just sit there and be passive and let someone go down. You have vision. You have eyesight that you can see. You have a vantage point. You have clarity. Everything that God gave you, your perspective is right. But if you don't act upon what you know, it won't be helpful in any way and people will be lost. Let's all stand for a moment. If your music team can come up here, guys. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, for we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They just pass away. But the things that are unseen, those are what's internal, eternal. The things that are eternal is what we cannot see. I ask you all to just close your eyes for just a moment. Just like me looking down at Steve and Tucker, above the surface, everything looked perfectly fine. But below the surface, there was a fight. Below the surface of the water, there was a struggle to just live, to make it one more day. I did not know it at the moment, but when I did perceive it, I was able to help. If you're above the water today, or if you're below it, I'm asking you, if you're below it, you just need to wave your hand, ask for help, ask Peter for help, ask me for help, ask a brother for help. With your eyes closed, I would like for you also just to think back for just a moment, speaking of you personally. Let's just look at ourselves for a moment. I want you to think back to the moments that God spoke to you. Maybe it was at an altar, at camp, or God speaking to you in a Bible study. Maybe God nailed you on a man-up adventure. Maybe it was a little old lady in church speaking a word over you after the service. She must have missed Peter, but she got you. Maybe you found something significant in Scripture that impacted you deeply. Maybe it was in prayer. In that moment, you realized that everything should be different. At that moment, God was inviting you to leave motivation and become driven, to become a servant of His, a follower of His, a passionate person, able to go after and help folks who are drowning around you. I'm asking you today to consider a change in your lifestyle, a change in your perspective, a change in your environment if you have to, whatever it takes to get out of darkness in your life, to get back to that spiritual vision. There's so much more that God has to show you. He wants to rise you up on wings of eagle, bring you up above the problems. He wants you to be with Him and see things from a higher plane. James 1:23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was." When God showed you in that spiritual glass who you're supposed to be, maybe this time don't walk away and forget it. Don't be a hearer of the word, but not a doer tonight. We're asking you all to rise to the level that God has called you to be. In holiness and righteousness and being a good man and doing the right thing. That's the thing that's going to bring revival to this church when men become the men who God has called them to be. And we've come to the service a little late tonight, but Brother Derek, would you just lead us in worship for just a moment? I'd like for everyone to come out of their pews if for just a few moments and maybe rededicate your life to that spiritual vision that God has given you. Rededicate your life to that spiritual, the Spirit of God who inside of you. Rededicate your life to God in ways that you know you needed to do. Maybe it's been years and years and years. Why don't you dump some of this carnal things that have got you all messed up and ask God to come back into your life and show you the things that you need so that you can help somebody else along the way. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord. I want you to, when you come down here, I'm just going to direct traffic a little bit. Come on down. Don't be afraid. Don't stay back. There's not that many of us here tonight. And when you pray, I would like for you to just pray out loud. Use your voice. God wants you to speak out loud in prayer. Almost all prayers are out loud in the Scripture. Don't be a silent man. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why would we wait? King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. Wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. Oh, so let's start right now. Why would we wait? We can praise you now in victory. King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Oh, we just want to be with you. Oh, King of.
just want to be with you. Oh, we just want to be with you. Oh, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Oh, we just want to be with you. Oh, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Oh, we just want to be with you. And so we'll sing hallelujah until you come again. Dance in your presence till you come again. Oh, we'll just sing hallelujah until you come again. And we'll dance in your presence until you come again. Yes, we will sing hallelujah until you come again. Yes, we'll dance in your presence until you come again. Oh, we will sing hallelujah until you come again. Yes, we'll dance in your presence, dance in your presence, dance in your presence. Dance in your presence, oh King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Oh, we just want to be with you. Oh, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you.
Why don't you just worship the Lord right now? Why don't you sing with your whole heart right now? Hallelujah. Just sing the song with your whole heart. Don't worry about the people around you.
Glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Oh, we just want to be with you.
Please.
want to be with you. Oh, King of glory, fill this place. Just want to be with you. Just want to be with you. Oh, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Oh, we just want to be with you. Oh, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Just want to be with you.
I felt a day or two ago, you know, it's kind of the way God deals with me, is that something significant was going to happen tonight. So maybe if you know what that is in you and personally, it could be a... forever, eternally. And you're going to make an internal impact on the kingdom of God that you may have never completely understood because your perspective in life was blurred. And the place in life that you were at, you could not see past the problems that you deal with or all of the whatever. But I'm just telling you here tonight that it doesn't have to be that way. And God wants to deliver you and take you out. He's got thoughts and plans for you that you can never even imagine. So I know that that's what's happening here tonight. I don't know who it is. I wish I just knew who it was. I'd like to talk to you, but I know something is happening. So I'm just glad tonight. And Brother Knopp, you want to just... Brother Knopp's going to close out our service tonight.
Just pray with me for a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have here, Lord. Thank you for the last 12 months that have been a struggle for all of us, Lord God, that you've shown us how much we need you, how much we need this body, how much we need each other, Lord God. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to take the words that Brother Peter Sandin ministered to us and that Jerry has ministered to us as well, God, and that you would help us to hide them in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to really understand, God, what it is that you would do in our lives, how that you would make us more like you in so many practical ways, Lord God, and that you would change our perspectives, God, that we would see, Lord, clearly, Lord God, what we are doing that might be contrary to what you are trying to do in our lives, Lord God. What you would have us to do, Lord Jesus. Maybe not what we would want to do ourselves, but what you would have us to do, God. I pray that this would be one of many times, Lord, that we could gather together, Lord Jesus, to gain strength from you and from each other, Lord God. Touch us, Lord. Minister to our lives, Jesus. Use us, whether they be in great ways or small ways, Lord God, to impact others around us, Jesus. We'll give you the glory for it, God. Thank you. So, for those of you who are still game, we are headed over to Portillo's afterwards here. So, God bless you. Thank you for coming.